This is the BioBalance Health Podcast, episode 19. I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin, founder and medical director of BioBalance Health. With me today is Brett Newcomb, a marriage and family therapist who also does lectures for large groups, and you can bring him into your office and educate your employees on anything you want them, like how to deal with difficult patients, like he's done for my office, or you can just listen to us, and if your group needs a wonderful speaker, call Brett. Go to my website, and we'll refer you to him. Today, we're talking about the importance of thyroid in the aging process.
We were talking last week about oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, and we were talking about it in the context of the hormone cluster and the neurotransmitters that are involved in those that either are ancillary to or complement the testosterone and estrogen aging cascade that you try to reverse. And you said something about the conferences that you've been going to on the aging process. They're actually now calling it something else.
Reverse aging.
So it's becoming a medical specialty?
Yes.
And there's reverse aging.
Reverse aging. And they may still call it anti-aging, but the conferences are trying to describe it better. Uh-huh. And reverse aging is what they're trying to do. We all seem to age earlier than we should now that our lifespan is much longer. So they're trying to reverse aging and bring us back to like 35 or 40, which is what I do in my practice. It's very consistent. Yeah. I will be going for board specialization in that, just because I'm already board certified in OBGYN. And so in the future, they have a board already for that specialty. Mm-hmm. It's only been around 8 years. So my BioBalance practice has been around 9 years. So
isn't that amazing? I mean, you think you're a unique individual and that you've come up with something that you need to do or you need to have. And then you discover, I remember when I needed to have a sports car. So I went out and got a two-seater sports car.
You needed a sports car?
I needed to have a sports car. It just came to me in a flash one night. And I had one. I was so proud of myself. And then after a while, I decided, you know, I don't need this. I'm going to get rid of what I really need to have is an SUV. I need to get a Jeep. So we got a Jeep. And then I read this article about how men of my generation consistently were evolving into the sports car phase and then replacing it with the SUV. I was so damn disappointed. Because I realized I think of myself as a unique individual, and I'm just part of the herd, the lowing herd. But medically,
there's something socially that you can't escape.
We're part of a group, and there are trends. And so what you discovered is that as you moved away from a traditional surgical practice and a traditional OBGYN practice into this focus, other doctors around the world were doing the same thing.
But I couldn't find one when I was going through it 9 years ago. I couldn't find anyone in this area that knew anything about what was going on with me. And that's what inspired me to learn as much as I possibly could after I was treated.
So it's a specialization whose time has come, in part because of the population bulge.
Because the baby boomers
the need is there.
We never thought we'd grow old.
We don't want to go gentle into that.
Never grow old, never die or whatever. Yeah. But we were never going to die.
Never give up, never surrender.
Yeah. And that we've never really forgotten that. And so that's why people go for plastic surgery. But honestly, if they can go for plastic surgery, they're still not going to look good unless they have the inside made younger. If they have the right hormones, then the plastic surgery looks better.
Just prettying up the box is not going to solve the problem.
That's right. You have to have something beautiful on the inside, and that is replacing everything that's missing in your hormonal armament. And part of that is thyroid. Now, testosterone generally fixes so many of the hormones that are missing. Like testosterone stimulates growth hormone. Mm-hmm. Your growth hormone goes up between 20 and 60% just by taking testosterone pellets.
Wow.
So you don't have to take growth hormone too until you get, they believe around 75 to 80. And when I'm 75 or 80, I'll probably figure that part out too, or maybe sooner. But growth hormone is stimulated by testosterone the way we provide it in subcutaneous pellet form. It's the best way to improve your growth hormone. It also improves your oxytocin. It also improves your adrenal gland, your ACTH. Your pituitary gland is activated. So there are so many hormones that are made better, but the one hormone that is not improved by testosterone is thyroid. And that's something that I deal with initially on an initial visit all the time, because oftentimes at the very same time that your testosterone kicks out from ovaries or testicles, your pituitary actually stops making enough TSH or to make your thyroid work. So you lose your metabolic force. Thyroid is your furnace. It stokes the furnace. It gives you the heat that you need to process every enzyme in your body. If you're cold.
So what are the core temperatures that men and women need for their enzymes to work?
Women should be 98. Close to 97.9 or 98.
All right.
That's the lowest temperature they should be for enzymes to work. Now, men have the same temperature they should be, but in general, they operate better in 98.6, 98.5, just what we call normal. Of course, everything was based on men and not women. Women always have a lower basal temperature the first 2 weeks of the cycle and a higher one at 98.6 or 98.4 after they've ovulated.
Yeah.
Now, when we stop ovulating, then that changes, and then we're down to a 98 all the time. So our, I guess, average is different than optimal. Mm-hmm. But men, generally, I look at trying to get them to 98.6 and women above 98. So thyroid is what does that. Thyroid helps your entire body. Every cell in your body needs thyroid. And thyroid pushes your cell to make energy out of blood sugar and out of fats. And that's how we live. If our thyroid's not working, if it's not working altogether, just the worst possible scenario, it's called myxedema. We swell. All of our tissues fill with water. We look like we're the Michelin man.
Mm-hmm.
We lose our hair, all of our bodies, our pubic hair, our facial hair, our hair on our heads, and the hair on women usually have longer hair, so not always, but hair gets brittle and breaks. Mm-hmm. So you can't grow your hair past a certain length if you're female.
Breaks off.
The one thing I look for in a low thyroid, of course, if I saw someone who was like that, I would know their thyroid wasn't working, but or they were on chemotherapy or something else that was was causing those symptoms, but usually it's thyroid. But oftentimes another sign of the thyroid not working is a big bulge right above the collarbone.
Is that a goiter?
And that's a goiter.
Okay.
And so that shows that the thyroid itself is enlarging, trying to keep up, but it just can't produce enough thyroid to keep the body at a warm temperature so that everything can heal itself.
But your thyroid can also be overactive.
Yes.
As well as underactive. So how do you balance that then? How do you recognize that?
Overactive thyroids can produce an enlargement, but generally those patients have a high pulse, a high temperature, a high blood pressure.
As a baseline.
That's what causes it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it causes. A high thyroid is going to make your metabolism run really fast. You lose weight, can't sleep, your anxiety, irritability, all of those things all at once. And you see the whole picture generally. And they're like, I eat all the time and I just keep losing weight. And those things, that usually precedes the death of the thyroid. Usually that happens, and then at some point either you're treated with PTU or some kind of treatment that shuts the thyroid down, or it just burns out on its own.
Wow.
And then you have a low thyroid, and then you gain a lot of weight. So a low thyroid makes you gain weight, and a high thyroid makes you lose weight. And by having a low thyroid, we replace that. A high thyroid, we usually try to shut it down with PTU, which is a particular medication that inactivates the thyroid, or radioactive iodine, which is something given IV to kill the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things for high thyroid, but I mostly see low thyroid.
Right.
By 40, most women's thyroids start slowing down a little bit, and I generally see, I'd say half my patients come in with a low thyroid, and it's undiagnosed. And here's why it's undiagnosed. I love this. All the testing that we do in medicine and all the normals are based on men, and they're based on young, healthy men. So We're told that TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, which goes up when your thyroid's low, should, if it goes above 4.4, then you have a low thyroid. Well, that's men's normal. Over 10 years ago, the endocrine society and several other specialty societies did studies on women and found that when a TSH is above 2.5, not 4.4, women have a low thyroid. So there's all these undiagnosed women out there because most labs...
Who have thyroid issues.
Yeah, they have thyroid issues. And the most labs have just the male normal on there. And if you're a doctor who doesn't really specialize in thyroid and you just look down the line and see if...
It looks like they're okay.
See, yeah, it looks like they're okay. Yeah. If you don't have in your mind, but that's men and this is a woman.
Yeah.
And the labs are very resistant to change that. And I asked them why, and they said they didn't want to make the old doctors unhappy. So I was glad they didn't call me an old doctor. You know, that was a plus for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not a good reason to keep
a
norm.
No, it's not good medicine either.
No, all these women are running around without their thyroid treated.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things, besides the goiter, I forgot to say, that it's a sign of low thyroid,
uh-huh,
is you don't have eyebrows on the outside, the lateral side, the side toward your ears. That part of your eyebrows die.
Okay.
And so I can look across the room, I see a goiter, I see no eyebrows, and I'm sitting at dinner, and I finally stopped walking over to people going, you
drop
need to get your thyroid
checked. Drop a little card
on
their table, check your thyroid.
But every day I have people come in going, you know, my hair, I've lost my hair, and I can see it. Mm-hmm. It's broken and
brittle.
And they're all swollen. Their hands are swollen. Oh, and they're severely constipated. And their cholesterol's up. Don't even say it.
I was thinking about it, but I won't say it. Yeah.
So they have all these issues they're going to different doctors for, and they have every sign of low thyroid, and I test them, and their TSH is above 2.5, and I treat them, and all of those things go away. They get eyebrows back. Their hair grows. Their skin's no longer dry as dust.
And they have a really great bowel movement.
And they have bowel movements every day. Now, you don't think that's a big deal, but for women, that's huge.
No, I was just thinking about when my dad was old and in the hospital and almost dying. And I went to visit him, and all these old men were coming in, and that's all they could talk about. That's all they focused on. And I don't want to get like that. So if I take enough thyroid, then maybe I'll
then
never
you won't
be
have
like
to
that.
Worry about that.
Yeah.
But it's really not good to retain stool for 3 days.
No.
That's
no.
really not good for you. But you're
reabsorbing
so
what
bad
you're,
stuff.
What you're saying, to pull this back into focus then,
please,
is that the thyroid is a parallel concern.
Yes.
That your primary focus is on reconstituting in a biologically consistent way, measurable release dosages that are by your own metabolic rate through the insertion of pellets. So it's not sublingual, it's not transdermal, it's not oral, and therefore you don't ride those intensity cycles.
Right, it doesn't go up and down all day or all week. It's a consistent, it's a reservoir
delivery
of hormone
mechanism
and you can
for the hormones of testosterone and estrogen, which are seem to be the seminal event for the aging cascade.
That's true.
But that beside that, there are thyroid issues that we also have to track and be aware of.
Yes.
So you and other doctors who are dealing with reverse aging concepts have to be focused on both of those things and not just one of them.
Right. We have to look at actually every hormone and make sure.
So it's a holistic approach.
Yes. And it treats the whole body. There would be a lot fewer people on cholesterol medicine because cholesterol goes up when your thyroid is down. If we actually looked at thyroid and treated it when it needed to be treated, but for some reason everybody thinks thyroid medication is dangerous. I guess it would be if you gave it to someone who didn't need it. But for someone who needs it, it's vital to every activity in their body, and it would save them all these other drugs.
Right.
And thyroid medicine's cheap. I mean, and I
use
natural.
Yeah, which some of the other drugs are not.
Right. I mean, they're not.
So there's a production industry out there that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people kind of fighting that because they have maybe thyroid medication that they produce as a drug company, but they also have cholesterol medicine and other things that, you know, the osteoporosis medicine, we wouldn't need that if we got our testosterone and estradiol replaced. It'd be very few people who would need that. So that industry doesn't really want this to work. This is a very efficient way of treating many different illnesses.
So those, to be fair in our representation, though, those other industries developed to do symptom management because we didn't have a place to stand to see the whole perspective because the knowledge had not evolved. It's kind of like Archimedes saying, I can move the world if you give me a place to stand. Once you get the knowledge that says this hormone cluster is the initiating potentiator for the decline of age. And so if you can address that in some way, then you bring science to bear in a positive way for new understandings. Like we were talking last week about oxytocin. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just to say that, you know, the drug manufacturers are being nefarious or the doctors are being...
No, it's just that they're not really for...
Right.
I mean, they...
They have an investment.
They have an investment. They've done the research. They're good. They're drugs that do what they say they're going to do.
The legitimate service of symptom management.
Right.
But medicine is beginning to be open to new ways to conceptualize this and new ways to treat this, and you're at the leading edge of that process.
Yes. Yes, and I like being at the leading edge just because it's so very efficient.
Yeah.
You know, you treat one or two things and everything else falls into place.
And you really see results. I mean, people come in, you've told me hundreds of stories about people that come in within a month to 6 weeks and they experientially notice differences in themselves and in their sex drive and their relationships and all of those components that fall under this cluster of these two hormones.
Absolutely. Every day. I mean,
it's gotta be really exciting.
It is. It's wonderful to walk through my waiting room and have people go, you saved my life. You saved my marriage. You saved me from sitting at home and not having a job because I was so tired or not being able to socialize. I have one patient who's just dramatically different because she was taken off hormones when the scare came out, the study that wasn't really a good study, WHI study that misled many people. She was taken off hormones and couldn't find someone who would put her on them. And put her back on him. She became an agoraphobic.
Wow.
Because she's, of course, lost all of her hormones, lost her oxytocin, lost everything. And she had to be literally dragged into my office because she was so afraid of leaving the house.
Yeah.
Now, this is a woman who used to travel the world.
Right.
Okay. And then lost her life because she couldn't have hormones anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because no doctor had the guts to give them to her.
So what the message we want to really shout from the rooftops is if you go to your traditional doctor and they say to you, well, you're just getting old, you need to learn to live with it, don't give up, look around.
And you're under 80.
Yeah. Find a doctor that has some training or some exposure to these concepts of reverse aging and see if that speaks to your particular needs.
And you'll know. It's not like you really have to look at a lab test to know you're better.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to look at lab tests to know what your perfect number is and
right.
when you feel well. But I manage by both symptoms and numbers.
Right.
But most of my patients know when they're better.
So it's both the art of medicine and the science of medicine.
Yes. And the perception of the patient.
Yeah.
Patients have to look inside and say, how do I feel today?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, doctors usually don't think patients know, but they know when they're well and they would know when they're not well. And we should listen to that when they say, I don't feel well. Just because doctors don't have a name for it, we don't have a name for what's wrong with them, doesn't mean they're well.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, you're fine, get out of here, doesn't answer the question.
Did you ever have that before? Well, you've got it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not getting better because you're just getting older.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not a good answer for productive people from our generation. Our generation is just not going to
listen. So the message for today then is if you're feeling out of balance in terms of these symptoms that we're describing, it could be thyroid, it could be hormones, testosterone, estrogen in particular, don't just accept that as a natural condition of life. Go and talk to your doctor about it. And if you don't get answers that you feel comfortable with, then look for additional medical information. And one place that they can find that, whether it's research references or literature or specific answers, is to contact you through your website by an email, and you can give them the address to do that.
If you have questions about this podcast, you can email podcast@biobalancehealth.com, or you can get to my website, www.biobalancehealth.com. And if you'd like to make an appointment, I have patients come in from all over the world. And my office phone number is 314-993-0963.
Just minutes from the airport.
Just minutes from the airport. I have patients that fly in from Germany and fly back the same day.
Wow.
And from Australia, actually. So it's interesting. My blog is drkathymaupin.com. Thanks for listening. From Brett Newcomb and Kathy Maupin.